Join me in Mark chapter 7, and before I read, just a little bit of background here. Jesus is continuing with his ministry and teaching the disciples. His circle of influence is getting larger and larger, and the crowds are becoming a bit larger as they're following. But also the attacks. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law are looking for anything they might can use to trap Jesus, because they are realizing more and more that he is not teaching things as they had understood them, and on many occasions he is challenging them, of which is one we read here following one of their attacks. So join me in Mark chapter 7, verse 1, and I will go through verse 23. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me, it is Corban.' That is a gift devoted to God. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." And Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go in his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." We pray for the Lord's blessing here and reading of his word, and certainly our understanding of this text. That's the way we've always done it. That's the way my mama and daddy did it. That's just the way we do things around here. How many times have we heard those statements? How many times have we said those statements? Traditions, practices, the accepted ways of doing things, these direct our activities. Many times without us ever knowing them. The practices, the traditions of our lives have been established by those who have gone before us, leaders, parents, family relationships, and we follow them. And these practices are ingrained in us by those who have gone before us, and we follow them, and many times we follow them without question. That's the way we do things around here. Is that good? Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Traditions, it must be acknowledged, traditions play a major role in our everyday lives. We have hundreds of traditions, hundreds of practices that we follow, sometimes mindlessly. And this is not a bad thing. However, you knew there was a however. However, when a tradition or a practice loses its anchor of meaning and becomes a motivation in and of itself, then yes, we have a problem. Motivation is key. Why do we do what we do? Why is it that this is the way it's always been done? Are we following a tradition or a practice simply because it's the way we've always done it? Or is our motivation to follow the practice, follow the tradition, because it leads us to a better understanding of the truth or of the point or of the principle behind the tradition? Let me give you two examples. Last week, we celebrated the Lord's Supper, a wonderful tradition. Question, do we celebrate the Lord's Supper only because it has been done by Christians down through the centuries? Or do we celebrate the Lord's Supper because at the heart of it, at the heart of that supper, at the heart of that meal, we are reminded of the sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ gave for our salvation? Let me give you another. Our Bible songs. The Bible songs we sing here most every Sunday. Do we sing them because, as I was told when I first asked the question, we always have? Is that the reason we sing them? Or do we sing them because Scripture leads us to sing them, and because they reveal the character and the nature of God? That's why we sing them. So how does a tradition, how does a practice become a rule in and of itself? Well, these things begin very innocently. At first, there's a desire to follow some belief, or there's a desire to submit to some truth. So in order to follow this belief or follow this truth, a practice is established. The Lord's Supper is a practice established to follow, to remember the truth of Jesus Christ. And so there are rules, if you will. There are principles. There are practices that are established. So we will follow them and remember the truth. The thought is if I fulfill the practice, then I will be disciplined enough and not violate the belief. Now, this sounds very good. Rules are created and we follow them and we try to remember. Sounds very good. However, over time, the tendency is to forget the fundamental principle behind the initiation of the practice. During this time, the heart of the issue is lost, and the practice becomes the motivator. It's just as I said a moment ago when I asked, why do we sing the Bible songs? A person very innocently said to me, well, we always have. Okay, the practice had taken on a life of its own, and the heart of why had been lost. At that point, the tradition has established a life of its own, and we've forgotten entirely about the heart of the issue and why the tradition's even in place. Let me give you an example. A young couple is having a group of folks over for dinner one night. The young man is cooking a roast. I love to cook. He cuts the roast in half, places it in the pan, puts it in the oven. Someone sees him cut it in half and asks, why do you cut the roast in half? He says, my mama did. Oh, okay. Sometime later, when he was visiting his mom, he asked, why do you cut the roast in half? She said, my mom always cut the roast in half. So the two of them, sometime later, they were over at the grandmother's house, and the young man asked, grandma, why do you cut the roast in half when you cook it? She said, my pan was always too small. Now, we laugh, but that is in its simple essence how a tradition becomes a tradition and the heart is lost. The dear lady, in her only pan she had to cook in, was too small, and so she cut the roast in half and put it in the oven. Well, the daughter saw that, picked up the practice, although her pan was sufficient size. The son picked it up. My grandma did. Now, that's a funny illustration, but it goes right to the heart of it. See, this is what Jesus was dealing with, although his was not humorous. They weren't laughing around his. The rabbis of the Old Testament period had divided the law of Moses, the Mosaic law. They had divided it up into 613 separate practices. Now, their ambition might seem good. These practices were established to help the people keep the tenets of the law. They were teaching tools to help them keep the law. However, over time, the keeping of the 613 decrees became the rule, and the heart of the Mosaic law had been lost. This example of washing of the hands is an example of one of the 613 decrees. You see, this comes from the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. And the thought is, in the ceremonial law, they were established so that the people in their practical behavior would do things differently than what their neighbors had done or what they had done all their lives. And so it would set them apart by following these ceremonial laws. These cleanliness rules, washing the pots, washing the kettles, washing the pitchers, all these things were to wash them so that the external world would not be on them and they would be set aside for a particular use. We say the same thing at the Lord's Supper. But they had lost the point. See, the point of the cleanliness rules was to get them accustomed to thinking of being set apart. Because right behind them was the teachings about the holiness of God and being set apart. So the washing of hands was nothing more than a practical illustration. But the Pharisees had made it a religious tenet. They completely lost the heart of the matter. The Pharisees asked Jesus, look at verse 5. Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? Now, notice their basis for concern. It wasn't the violation of the ceremonial law. Their concern was not the violation of a Mosaic law. Their concern was a violation of a tradition. The Pharisees were saying, you aren't doing this the way we've always done it, so therefore you are wrong. How many times have I heard that? And as Jesus is so apt to do, he revealed their true nature. Look at verse 6, the latter half of verse 6. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. People honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. A crushing indictment to these who are supposedly the leaders of the religious order. Look at verse 8 again. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Just as in our illustration, the tradition had taken on a life of its own, and the heart of the matter was gone. How many of us sitting in church today are guilty of this very thing? We follow rules. We follow religious practices. We try to say the right things and do the right things. But yet our hearts may not even be in the room. Where is your heart? Where is our hearts? Are they consumed with the traditions? Or does our heart, do our hearts seek the truth behind the traditions and behind the practices? Here's a place I must bring to our attention. This is an area of concern in the ARP Church. Now, don't get me wrong. The history and the traditions of the ARP Church are an important thing. The reason I came to the ARP Church is its history. But more importantly, the teachings of the church and its revelation of truth. History and tradition of the church are important. But for some, it may be just too important. Because there are those within our denomination who are willing to uphold the traditional ways and the tradition of institutions at the risk of truth. We have to be careful, because traditions and history, those are not bad things. It is what we do with them that they take on an evil air. And so we must be careful. Back to the point of the passage, Jesus is saying, it is not what we do that makes us holy. Actions cannot save. Traditions cannot save. Religious practices that we follow daily, weekly, they cannot save us. In Psalm 51, David writes, he says, you, referring to God, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. Now, that seems like such a paradox, because all through the Old Testament, they are taught the ceremonial law, the judicial law, and the moral law. They are taught to do things to show their holiness. They are taught to do things to show their respect and honor for God. Yet they were never taught the heart of the issues. Or they were taught and they forgot. And so while David is saying, you do not delight in burnt sacrifices, because God set up the sacrifice as a teaching tool, as a tradition, but the tradition was not the answer in and of itself. The tradition pointed to a greater point, and that was Jesus Christ. We must know the heart. We must go to the point. Our actions in and of themselves will do nothing for us but mislead. It is only the redeemed of God, those who have a new heart, that are the true believers, not those who follow the self-centered rules created by the people around us. Look with me at verse 20, chapter 7. Now you have to understand what Jesus was saying here, what was challenging an Old Testament tradition of food cleanlinesses, of foods that are right and wrong. Remember Peter's lesson? Peter was a devout Jew and he would not eat those things. But yet then the vision and all the food that came down, This is Jesus' point here as well. Jesus said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of a man's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. The Pharisees thought what you did made you clean. And they were never redeemed. It is what's in here. What I do does not make me evil. My environment, the popular psychologists today need to hear this, my environment does not make me evil. I am evil. I am bad because I am a sinner. And my heart is dark. And out of my heart comes all sorts of evil and sin and yuck before redemption in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in verse 9, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." Is this me? Do I do this? Do I set aside the truths of God to uphold a tradition? Do I believe that the history of a tradition is more important than seeking after the truth? Are we ones who honor Jesus with our lips? Honors Jesus with our actions? Are we ones who impose rules and traditions on everyone else when in reality it may be us whose heart is far, 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 far? When I see one who is more involved in rules than the seeking after the truth, then that usually reveals the heart. Traditions are not bad. I have a tendency, to attack every tradition. I have a tendency to attack everything that's standing. Because I see so many people just following blindly without real understanding of the point or the meaning of the tradition. But traditions are not bad. But when that tradition is supported and followed at the risk of truth, it is evil. So I encourage you. Now, some of you will be uncomfortable with this, but I encourage you, question our traditions. Question our practices. Do it respectfully. Do it with love, but question. And those of you who get the questions, typically from ones younger than us, listen intently to their question and do not feel personally challenged when they question. See, there's the issue. If the tradition is found to be erroneous or out of line, we take it personally because I've been following that tradition. It's made me who I am. And we make it personal. No. Question traditions. Question our practices. Do it with love. Do it respectfully. And if you discover in your questioning the heart of that tradition, then follow that tradition and learn from it. But in your questioning, if you can't find the heart, you can't find the point, you can't find the real reason behind it, stop that tradition and cease it altogether. If the heart of tradition is hidden, no longer follow it. At all costs, stop it. As we see in the story of Jesus and the Pharisees, a religious tradition that hides the truth of the gospel, that is an evil thing. So I ask us all of us in this room, where is our heart? Question yourself in the things you do, the things we do. Where is our heart? Do we seek after the truth? Or do we blindly follow? Are we mired so deep in the tradition and the practice, and we're so afraid to ask? Where's your heart? Jesus wants your heart, not your tradition.